It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, November 4th. I'm Patricia Naft. On Monday afternoon, three guns were stolen from the Museum of the West in Grand Junction. Heidi Davidson with the Grand Junction Police Department says the agency received a glass break alert from the museum around 5 o'clock.
Officers responded to the museum within minutes. They searched the building and located no one, but after further investigation, discovered that a glass display case in the museum had been broken and three handguns were stolen.
Davidson says two of the stolen handguns used to belong to a Mesa County sheriff.
And then there was an additional gun, which was a pistol that had been owned by a famous actor and then obtained by the museum.
The museum does have surveillance equipment.
Unfortunately, it wasn't functioning at the time of the burglary, so there were no useful images that were captured to assist in the investigation.
Grand Junction Police Department is asking anyone with information on the case to contact the agency. The preliminary environmental assessment for a proposal to upgrade 80 miles of transmission line that runs between Montrose and Dove Creek is out. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association wants to beef up the line's capacity from 115 kilovolts to 230 kilovolts. The Bureau of Land Management is overseeing the assessment that contains three alternatives for the project. Shannon Borders is a BLM spokeswoman.
The first alternative is to move forth with Tri-State's proposal, which would increase the right-of-way from 100 feet to 150 feet so they can accommodate the higher voltage line.
The second alternative is a no-action plan. And Borders says the third alternative includes options to change where the transmission line runs, in part to protect a threatened species.
Where the line currently sits has been identified as sage grouse habitat, and so our biologists are taking a look at trying to determine a way to avoid that habitat.
The other reroute would go across the Dolores River.
Originally, when the line was built in the late 1950s, they picked the shortest river crossing because that's the technology they had and that's the span that they could build.
Borders says that location contains very steep slopes.
So Tri-State is asking us to consider looking at moving that line down so that it would be easier to access and wouldn't cause as much damage as they have to maintain the line.
People have until December 3rd to submit comments on the proposal to the BLM. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
A man that had been camping and dirt biking in Colorado went missing last month. Larry Bolio was last known to be driving a white panel truck with Arizona license plates and a blue dirt bike. Anyone who's seen Bolio or his vehicles should contact their local law enforcement. A panel discussion in Paonia Monday night looked at agriculture on the Western Slope and how it will fare as the climate continues to change. KVNF's Jake Ryan was there and spoke with one of the panelists.
Jerry Nelson was one of the three experts brought in to talk about how global warming will change agriculture, specifically in Colorado. He's retired now, but he used to work for the International Food Policy Research Institute in Washington, D.C. He says that the warming will affect farmers everywhere, but here especially because the symptoms of climate change are felt more in higher elevations.
So it's going to get warmer, which is going to cause problems for folks who have planted cool weather crops and cool weather perennial crops. So, you know, the Pinot Noir that's grown around here, which I really like, may have more trouble in a few years because of the higher temperatures. But you'll also get more variation in rainfall. You may get more rainfall or you may get less rainfall, where it's not totally clear around here, but you'll get more variation. And so you're going to have to deal with longer periods of drought, and potentially some heavy, you know, downpours that could really make a difference in terms of what happens to runoff.
Knowing specifically what will happen here is tricky. Scientists can project problems for Iowa, but the Western Slope is very different.
We know a fair amount about corn and to a lesser extent about soybeans. But in this valley here where you've got, you know, 50 different crops and you've got all these microclimates, we just do not have a good science base to understand about how climate change is going to affect folks. So it's going to be, you know, that old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times, I think, in this valley.
More of the discussion will be covered later on this week in a collaboration with High Country News. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Ahead of a deadline to finalize the Colorado Water Plan, elected leaders from the Western Slope are emphasizing their opposition to Trans Mountain diversions. The plan aims to find ways to supply water to the state's growing population. Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin reports.
In October, a petition signed by 1,500 Western Slope residents was delivered to Governor Hickenlooper, urging no new Trans Mountain diversions be included in the Colorado Water Plan. Then, at a meeting last Monday, Western Slope lawmakers reiterated the need to keep water in their region. Representative Bob Rankin was at the gathering in Glenwood Springs.
We contend, we on the Western Slope, that there is no more water to divert. We already are diverting a very large amount of water every year, and the Denver metropolitan areas and the farmers could always use more water. We on the Western Slope think there is no more water to be diverted.
In an October 20th Denver Post article, Front Range Conservancy districts that provide water to consumers said they want Trans Mountain diversion plans included in the statewide plan. Jim Pokrand contributed to the build-out of the plan. He chairs a group that focused on the Colorado River Basin.
Everybody got pretty excited about that Denver Post story, but it's not even clear where all those comments came from that looked like a pretty aggressive, like we're going to do a Trans Mountain diversion.
He says the Colorado Water Conservation Board assured him nothing radical, like a new diversion, would be added to the plan. The board is in charge of developing the plan. What was added is a goal for water storage, where reservoirs may be expanded or built.
But as some folks have said, you can build storage, but you can't store your way out of the problem. There are opportunities to store more water, but storage is certainly not a silver bullet.
The plan does mention some on-the-ground projects, but Representative Bob Rankin thinks more specificity is needed. Plus, the state aims to start raising $100 million annually starting in 2020 to implement it. Rankin wonders where the money will come from.
Is it user fees on water users? Is it a tax increase across the board? So that's a big question.
Pokrand says once the plan hits the governor's desk later this year, it's not a done deal.
There will be a chance to make more comment and edit it further down the road.
The plan is aimed at addressing a projected 163 billion gallon shortfall in the state due to climate change and population growth. Marcy Krivenin, Aspen Public Radio News.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.